Music provided by Armstrong. Visit armstrongofficial.com to hear more badass music.
Welcome to the TriCast Gaming Podcast.
Greetings and welcome everyone to episode number 108 of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. I am your host, Philip Grimlockini, and I'm joined tonight by both Jason Neons Andrews and Mike Rovox Martinez. Jason, I'm going to start with you. How are you doing this week?
Doing good. I had a long week of work. Went to Nashville and had a good time at the Grand Ole Opry. Night before last night. Got to see some good acts. So had a lot of fun.
That's cool. Yeah, I've been to the Opry twice. And I really enjoy it. I think it's a really neat show. If you were to ask me to rank my music taste, country would probably be like fifth or sixth down there. But even still, like, I go into the Opry and I just have a great time. I think it's a really good show.
Favorite genre, but I grew up, I mean, it was like nostalgia for every high school dance that I've ever done. You know what I mean? Being from Texas, but it was good. And it was, the two like big headliners were Mark Wills, which has a ton of songs that I remember. 1970 something. It's the one where he starts off talking about Star Wars.
Yeah, I know that song.
And then it was Scotty McCreery was the other one. So
Yes, he's like,
and there was a couple other smaller ones, but yeah,
he's one of the big names in country right now, McCreery, right?
He won American Idol.
Yes.
One of the cool things that happened is Mike Wills. Just so happened to work out. The whole time we were going, my boss was like, "I'm trying to find out who's there. Like, I want to know who's going to be performing for us, because every time we go, it's someone new." And the conference that we went to bought it out. Like, it was for us, right? And so, we had it sold out. Everything was free, like all the drinks, all the food, all the snacks. Like, we just hung out there, right? And so they did a show for us and came out and were talking to us and stuff. And so it was a private event. And so it's not like you can look online and see who the entertainers were, and they wouldn't tell us. And so I found out afterwards why he was so desperate to find out who it was that was on the show, because Mark Wills and my boss's daughter, long story short, Mark Wills knows my boss because both their daughters went to school together and are like really good friends.
Gotcha.
And so it just so happened, he's singing and he gets done singing, he goes for a break and he calls up, he goes to the back, "You guys want to see something really cool? I've got my grandbaby here. Bring my first grandbaby out," or whatever. And so he brings out this kid, and he's got this very young, early 20s daughter, and she has a 6-month-old baby. And so she brings it out on the stage. And so my boss's wife runs up to the stage and is like, "Hey," and she sees him, her, and she was like, "Oh my gosh, that's, Debbie Lorena." And he goes, "Debbie Lorena, where?" And she's like right at the front of the stage waving her hands. And he looks down and he's like, "Oh my goodness, what are you doing here?" And then and he's like, "Is Manny here?" Which is my boss. And Manny stands up in the back and he's like, "Over here." And he was like, "Manny Lorena." And so then he called him into the back and he was like, "There's security, come around the other back of the curtains over here. And I'm a member here, so it's okay. And, we'll help you." And so they got a whole backstage, thing. And so he goes hit through his set and then goes back there and they got to hold the baby and hang out and stuff. But it was just cool. My boss just got called out in front of the whole place to everybody. And it was really cool. That's why he cared so much. He was trying to figure out I know a guy who's a member for the Opry. I'm just curious if he had no idea though that what are the odds of all of the members of the Opry?
Right. Right. Yeah. That's really cool, awesome, man.
Yeah.
What about you, Mike? How have you been this week? Sorry, I don't think you can top that story, but
no, I cannot. I'm just going to say, just a really hardcore vanilla week at work. Nothing special happened. And I went to the chiropractor. That's my week.
Hey, you know, vanilla work weeks are pretty good sometimes because, you know, you gotta have some of those
with the hectic fires that can get created. Yeah, I agree.
For sure. Well, I also relatively vanilla work week, thankfully, but I've been, you know, I said last week on the show that the Premier League season has started. So that's just kind of been,
been jersey wear for you. Two weeks in a row.
That's right. You know, I'm like, I'm really getting excited about this season.
Exact same jersey.
Yeah.
Is that the one you bought from a couple of weeks ago? Like, do you actually splurge?
I'm saving it for tomorrow.
Okay.
Because tomorrow's the first home game of the season.
Do you have it there with you now? Or is it in your bedroom?
No, it's like in my closet on the other side of the house. Yeah. I mean, it looks like when I showed it to my wife, she's like, is that your old shirt? And I'm like, no, it's the new one. She's like, I don't see how it's different. The only difference is that the new one has like a collar, like a polo shirt collar. Right. Whereas this one has this.
I hate those kind of
uniforms. I do too, but it is what it is. That's the shirt this year. Thank Adidas for that. Or Adidas, however you say it.
Adidas. Isn't that how they say it in Europe? Is Adidas?
It's something they say it weird.
It's Adidas, I think. Adidas. Yeah. Which it's a German company, so that is actually the correct pronunciation. But you know,
it still sounds stupid. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Americans have to do
America. Zebra. Okay, so
hey, yeah, but zebra is not strictly a European word, whereas Adidas is a European company. So how they pronounce it would be the correct pronunciation. Just saying. It is what it is. But yeah, so I'm just real excited about the season. But even more so, like weirdly enough, this season, the way it's aligned, is Amazon did a documentary about our season last year. And it's been coming out. Like there was three episodes last week and three episodes this week. It's called All or Nothing Arsenal. Yep. And it's really good, and it kind of got me even more hyped.
Hey, I'm going to do the exact same joke that Peyton Manning did when he like hosted the ESPYs or whatever. Uh-huh. They started, and this was like when All or Nothing very first came out. He was like, they're going to do an All or Nothing on the Detroit Lions. So, spoiler alert, it's nothing.
I suppose you could argue we were a nothing by the end of the season two last year. So I'm dreading the finale because there was very, very disappointing end to our season this past year. But nonetheless, that is what I'm mostly excited for. We play our first home game of the season tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. American time or Central Standard Time. So that's all I can think about. It's all I can think about is soccer, it seems like, this week. So it is what it is. But, guys, I think that we have a fun show. There's a little bit of debate as to how fun it was, but we'll see how it goes. But should we just go ahead and get into video games and get started on this thing?
We might as well, because
we
talked about what we were going to talk about pre-show and delayed when we were going to start.
We like having meetings.
Play into it. And Mike's into it, but I think he's ready to murder us. So we should probably.
We basically had a meeting before the meeting about the meeting, and it just
before the show even started.
Yeah, like let's just get into it.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should start recording our pre-show so that we can have a blooper reel later. All right, well, let's get into this because you know what? Each and every week we do get together to channel our virtues through the Triforce to provide you, the listener, all the hottest topics in the mythical world of video games. We also add in as much of our colorful thoughts and fill up monologues as you can handle in a week simply because we love video games and discussing them. If you like what you hear, please consider subscribing on your podcasting app of choice. And if you really enjoy it, please share on social media or directly with your friends. The show continues to grow thanks to all of your wonderful support. You can find us on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at TriCastGamingP1 and on our website, TriCastGamingPodcast.com. DM us on any platforms with your questions and we'd be happy to share them on our show. Good try, Jason. I know the intro too well. You can't trick me.
Retype out the thing to get him to read what I said and he wouldn't go for it.
That's right, yeah.
So, games that we've played, I see here you still got you some Days Gone on there, but you've it's looking a little cluttered on there, Phil.
It is, but it's not as cluttered as it looks. I guess I'll kick it off since you're kind of throwing me the softball. I have turned down the Destiny way, 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 way down. Like, I've probably played like 30 minutes of Destiny in the last week, except for we did the Grandmaster Nightfall this past Sunday. So I finally, for the first time ever, completed a Grandmaster Nightfall. So other
now
than
do
that,
it without dying.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Coward.
And Mike, was it the two of you?
No, I didn't do it. It was
that were you saying like he was the problem that he died 37 times? No, no. You're trying to say?
I'm just trying to diminish his accomplishment by saying, now do it harder.
How many Grandmaster Nightfalls have you completed, Mike?
I don't want to fucking talk about it, Philip.
Have you not done one?
I've never done one, no.
He's not even leveled high enough to go into the Grandmaster. You have to be 1585 to do the Grandmaster.
Yeah, and I'm like 1580.
I've not done one, so.
It's just an extremely hard Nightfall.
Yeah,
it's pretty impressive whenever you can finish it. So, like, it's very impressive to finish it.
Yeah, for sure. So, it was me and Tyler and the other Tyler, TCS, our buddy, our gaming buddy. So, we did that Sunday night. So, that's really kind of the only Destiny I played, so. That aside, it's been actually mostly Days Gone. I played probably like all day Saturday, like 6 or 7 hours of Days Gone on Saturday. I have done everything in the first two sections except for some of the story missions. So I'm trying to wrap up the story mission so it can send me to the next little area. I just found out that maybe my wife is not actually dead and we're going to go south instead of north to go figure out if we can find her. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm still really enjoying it. I mean, at this point, unless something like really awesome comes out, which there's nothing coming out, so no chance of that happening, I'm going to see Days Gone to the end. I am very much enjoying it, having fun motorcycling through some zombies, quite literally. I like to run them over as I'm driving around. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, Days Gone, it's good. The story is still like whatever, you know, like I really I really just can't with it. And some of the voice acting from your main character, Deacon, is just ridiculous. And he mumbles. I think it's on purpose because most of the rest of the game, I have no problem hearing. But when Deacon talks, I have to like turn the volume up to like 50 to hear what he's saying. I think it's purposely done that the character like mumbles a lot in the game. Yeah. And it's really odd. I don't understand that choice. But no, I mean, when it's just, you know, exploring the world, the environmental storytelling is really good. They built a really fascinating world to explore and be in. And yeah, I'm having fun with that. So Days Gone, still a lot of time into that game.
Yeah, I think he's complaining kind of, but like, it's like he's thinking in his head, but he's like mumbling under his breath. He's trying to like say something like to where you hear, but they don't hear. But it's weird because it's not like he's talking at this, you know, like crazy volume and then goes down to like a like smaller volume so that like you understand. It's just like he's talking at a normal volume and then he goes to like literally he's mumbling under his breath where you can barely hear it. Like I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's always when he's like complaining about somebody else or someone tells him something, sure. He's like, "What's stupid? What?" You know, like
Yeah, for sure.
Want me to do that. Oh, you know.
Yeah. So it's a unique, I mean, I've certainly never experienced any kind of, you know, I've certainly had games where the main character will like monologue to themselves, but never quite like that. So it's definitely unique to it. For sure. I'm intrigued to see if what happens with this Boozer character. Don't spoil it for me because, he was at the start of the game and then he get his arm burned off practically. And now he's just like huddled up in the tower and doesn't do anything. So I'm intrigued to see, like, is he going to die? And then you're going off on your own. Like I've always find it interesting in games like this where it would make sense that you had a partner, but yet most games don't want to actually, you know, take the time to code a AI character that is with you all the time in combat and stuff like that. Yeah. So I'm intrigued to see what they do with his character. And I'm intrigued to see like, you know, once you move into the next area, how does the scenery change? What does it look like? Does it differ? But yeah, no, I'm having a lot of fun finding the different ambush camps and, you know, doing the Nero sites and just kind of Assassin's Creed on a motorcycle in the apocalypse, as I said last week.
Spoiler alert. he turns into a zombie and eats your wife right in front of you.
That would actually make the story good.
You're kind of like, really? Did you just ruin it for me?
Finally, some action.
No, that would actually make the story good. But yeah, so that's Days Gone. I've been doing that. And then the other thing, I finally went ahead and installed the Hot Wheels DLC for Forza Horizon 5. And that's actually really short. It's only like 5 to 7 hours total to like 100% it. So it's really not that much. Really and truly, most of my gaming time this week has gone to Days Gone. But I have to say, if you have the ability to play the Hot Wheels DLC for Forza Horizon 5, you owe it to yourself to do this. This is a wonderful little experience. They do a superb job creating this like feeling of driving around on roller coasters. They have like magnetic tracks that do like multiple barrel roll spirals, and they have big loop-de-loops, and they have like flume tracks where you like start going down it and you got all this water and you like slide around a bunch. They have like this volcano, and you drive up the side of the volcano and then drive straight down into it and loop out of it. It's really cool. It is a really awesome little experience. I had a blast playing through it. Like I said, it was only like 5 to 7 hours. Adds like 10 Hot Wheels specific type cars. And then what's really cool about it is because you're on Hot Wheels tracks, so it's really hard to go off the track. So my kids have had a lot of fun playing with it because they drive around and they can't literally go off the track because they just hit the walls and it redirects them back onto the track.
It's like Mario Kart, but not Rainbow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. So it's really cool. I think you can download Forza Horizon 5 for free if you've Game Pass, and then you just have to buy the DLC. I don't know what the DLC costs, like $10, $15 or something. But it's a lot of fun. Really cool. I highly recommend it. I mean, it does such a good job of the roller coaster. There were a handful of times that at the end of a section, I felt just a touch nauseous. And this was not even in VR. So yeah, this is really, really good. Can't recommend it enough. But I mean, since it's a DLC, I don't know if I'll... I guess, should I review score it? Should I give it a score?
Give it a score.
Yep, give it a score.
Okay, I'm gonna go 4 tryhards. I think it is really, really good. I think it's excellent stuff. It's one of the best DLCs for a game I've played. Really fun. So, all right. Well, Jason, I'll spin it over to you because I've talked enough.
Well, you know, I was gone all week. I was gone from Sunday through yesterday afternoon. So, played a little last weekend after the podcast, and then I played again, you know, like last night and a little bit before the podcast tonight. But the only games I've really played is Borderlands 3 some more, and Spider-Man. So Spider-Man obviously just came out today.
Yep.
So I'm like, you know, 3 hours into that.
And you got it on PC?
Yep. The Spider-Man Remastered. It's the PlayStation.
Okay. Right.
Just into, you know, it was available on both Steam and Epic. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I just, you know, I have, I guess mostly because I've been in the Epic launcher quite a bit recently, playing, you know, other Fortnite. Games. Well, Fortnite or, actually
Rocket League,
Rocket League or, Borderlands 3 really is what I've been playing the most. And so it's been popping up in the advertisement the whole time. And so I thought like, okay, I've just been planning on buying it in the Epic store this whole time. But today the Epic store was like, because this whole time you could pre-purchase it. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like the advertisement's still there. And it's like, you know, last chance to pre-purchase. And well, now the game's out and you click on it and go to it. And it's like pre-purchase, but it's like grayed out and you can't click it. But I can't buy it. And it's just like, I couldn't do anything. And I like restarted my computer. I like, you know, made sure there wasn't like an Epic store like launch. So I don't know if that has now been fixed, but that was earlier today. And it was just like, I mean, it was after noon, you know what I mean? And I couldn't get it.
And that's so hilarious. It's a strange problem to have.
I went over to Steam and there we go. Just was able to just buy it and there we go. Download it. So I was able to start it this evening. So,
What are they selling it for?
Like 59.
16. Oh, okay. So it's like a full price game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's okay. Where, I mean, Sony, you know, that's where they, you know, there's the people who are like, oh, this is ridiculous. That, I mean, the sales have gone completely stagnant on it. And they're now turning and getting a full amount for it again. You know, yeah, I say a full amount. I mean, they're having to pay, you know, like Steam or whoever a portion of the sales. But I mean, it's a big revenue generator for them, I promise.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it's smart business. I mean, if you ask me.
Yeah, no, I get you.
I will say, though, that like at least Spider-Man Remastered comes with all of the DLC as well. So there's three DLC packs with it.
I have all.
So you're getting a full game plus all of the DLC, which I actually have never played the DLC for Spider-Man.
Yeah, like I just now got to I just now got to the point where I just unlocked the ability to equip a new suit.
Okay.
And with the DLCs, I've got all these like extra suits down at the bottom.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've got like this like armored looking suit on that looks really, really cool. It doesn't have any bonuses because you have to put all the mods and stuff on yourself, right?
Right.
But it just looks way better than the like base Spider-Man suit right off the bat.
Yeah, yeah. The suits in that game are really cool. You unlock a lot of different suits. And I cycle like it. You know, a lot of games, you find that one armor set and you're like, this is badass, and you never change. Right. I found so many badass suits that I found myself like cycling them. I'd do one for a little while and then another one for a little while. And yeah, so it's really cool. I like the suits in that game.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't have a whole lot to talk about other than, you know, look, Borderlands 3 is still a lot of fun. Have one critique on Borderlands. One critique. So it's me and my buddy who've been playing. And I find myself it's a looter shooter, and so you want to loot a lot, and it's the kind of game that is tailor made for me. Like a bunch of my buddies just know me as
your loot whore.
I mean, I like have a homing beacon. Like I have been.
Is it
like,
shared loot? Is that where this is going?
No. It's not. It is by default, but you can turn that off and make it
okay.
So that's which I have done. It's fine. But I have like, you know, we play these kind of games and I have, you know, like my buddy Troy has on multiple occasions accused me of having hacks where I just like, he's like, there's no way you turn the corner and beeline straight for that, you know, chest. How would you possibly know it's there? I'm like there was no reason for the designers to like have to do all the work to create that tunnel that went to the left. Like, you know what I mean? Like I see, and they're like homing beacons. And I'm like, there's just like places where you're like, if there's an opening under those stairs,
there's
a designer
loot.
Is like, if I have to design this, I'm putting something here. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like otherwise I'm just creating a wall here. There's no reason. Yeah. So I'm like, I just like, they just like scream out to me, like check in those spaces for loot. Right.
That's a gamer's intuition right there.
I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just from, you know, playing them so much and like, I just figure them out. Like, and so, that's the good news is I'm good at that. But the bad news is there are so many chests, that I'm overwhelmed by how many chests there are. And when I say so many chests, 70% of the chests are just like, all it is ammo in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
Like just get rid of all those and make it that when you kill the guys, they drop ammo.
Yeah.
Cause you're going through ammo like crazy, but you're like basically getting to the point where you have to like be looting mid fight to continuously still have ammo to be fighting the people. And I find myself constantly searching and like fight. Like here's what ends up mostly happening is my buddy is killing all the enemies and I'm just running around looting. I'm like barely fighting because I'm just like looting the entire time. And there's so much loot. I mean, and literally like 70% of it is just, I mean, they're loot boxes, but you can't tell ammo boxes, but you can't tell they're ammo boxes. So you're like almost on top of them.
Right.
And it's like, ugh. And so that's my one complaint so far. The game is actually really fun. I like it. It feels very smooth. I just don't like how they make you go to loot boxes for ammo. That's the part I don't like. Otherwise, that's all I got.
Very good. All right, Mike, what about you? I see multiple games here.
Yeah, I've started playing a game called Vampire Survivor, which is a very retro game that's roguelike. I'm going to link a picture of it in our Facebook chat.
It's in Game Pass.
Ooh. Vampire Survivor is?
Yes, sir.
I had no idea. Well,
I know. You probably bought it on Steam for like $3. It's on Steam.
It was on Steam for $3.
Yeah. But, yeah. Because our buddy Blaine was trying to get me to play it. And he was like, it's only like $3 on Steam. And I looked and I was like, okay. And so I went to like, I was going to buy it.
Yeah.
And then I saw the graphics of it and I was like, yeah, I'm just not, I won't be able to do it. And so I didn't buy it. And then I was in Game Pass looking for something. And I was like, oh, look, there's Vampire Survivor right there.
It's actually pretty, very, very laid back. And like I said, it's a roguelike. So the way you get your abilities is like, once you make a level, it gives like a thing pops up and you choose between three abilities, just like, you know, the roguelike, and you upgrade through that. And every time you get a level, it's, you keep selecting. I think you have to last 30 minutes and then the final boss will appear after 30 minutes. And apparently the final boss is stupid hard. And then after that, you can go on to the next level. But it's very, it start like, thing with me on that, the only grip I have with that game is it starts really slow. Really slow. Like one guy will come on the screen, you hit it, and then gotta wait. And two guys will come, and you go up there, and you hit them, and you just gotta wait. It just takes forever for things to start ramping up. But once,
like waves almost.
Yeah, once everything ramps up, dude, you are like surrounded. There's nowhere to fucking go. And also, the way you attack is, it's all based off of time. It's like, it's auto attack. You don't actually control when you attack. You just set, it's like trying to get the last hit on a minion in League of Legends, Jason. Okay. That's what it's, you have to time all that shit, right? And then every time you kill, I think there's like only certain mobs that drop it, but it's like a little gem. You pick up the gem, it gives you a bit of experience. And after each round, you have the ability to buy like power-ups to kind of make you more powerful throughout the you playing the game itself. But my favorite power up is like you'll go through and you like start killing things, but you can't go back and collect all the gems you've dropped because there's just no way to get everything. So, but there's this power up that'll drop randomly that is called Magnetize, and it brings all of the gems to you. It's quite satisfying to watch. But yeah, well, I played.
When you say randomized, this is sort of like old school Call of Duty Zombies, where like you just like randomly would get the drop, and one of them would be like the one shot kill, one of them would be the new
the ray gun.
Yeah. Well, the drop, yeah, pretty much.
But you didn't know which one you were gonna get. It just happens, and then you just get it. Yeah,
because you have like because they're like little idle. You just, the drops don't come from the mobs; they come from like lanterns that are just kind of thrown about the whole level, and if you have to go up to the ladder and you break it, it'll drop something. Most of the time it's a health pack, rarely it's something really good.
What I love about this game is that it's very clear that they were Castlevania fans.
I thought a lot of the
animations, like the floating holy water that's around them, like all of that is like Castlevania stuff. It's really cool looking. I recommend people checking this out.
It's really fun. It's like
everyone I hear plays it loves it. It's sort of like Minecraft to me. Like I couldn't ever get into it because it doesn't
look pretty. You have to get past it looking pretty, not looking pretty. But it's really fun. So like if you're on a business trip or some shit on a plane, this is a great game to play. It's really fun.
Yeah, it looks cool.
The next game I've been playing is Ghost Recon Wildlands because it just recently came on Game Pass a couple weeks ago. Or last week? I can't remember. But I remember I played like halfway through it with y'all, and then I stopped. And I wanted to finish it, but I sold the game to get something. I actually bought the physical copy of the game. And I sold that game to get the new Call of Duty. And I was like, crap, I wanted to go back and finish it, and I saw it was on Game Pass. So I downloaded it on the PC, which sucks because your save doesn't transfer to PC. So I have to start over, which is fine because I kind of want to relive the story as well because this is a pretty good story. So I've been playing that.
Yeah, Ghost Recon Wildlands is the good one that came out recently, not the bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really... Jason, I recommend this one. You may actually like this. It's up to four players.
I've been looking at it.
It's... stuff right now. You can play one of two ways, but it's recommended to play the stealthy way. to sneak in and like just murder or snipe assassin these guys. And if you get caught, you can just go, you can restart or just go full on murder mode. But yeah, I've been playing that. And then I got back into Sea of Thieves hardcore because they released the Captaincy update, which allows you to buy a boat and name it whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
I named mine the Salty Swallow.
Wow.
The front of the decoration up at the bow of my boat is like this shirtless dude with a rose in his mouth.
I can't even right now.
And my boat is pink with white accents.
You just went all in, huh?
I just went all in. I wanted people to know, like, I do not take this shit seriously.
You went all in with your Salty Swallow? Is that what you're saying?
And what's funny is, like, the Salty Swallow is my brig name. My sloop name is the Salty Sip. And my galleon, which is the bigger ship, is called the Salty Gulp. Oh, I'm proud of that.
Does your wife
ride on the ship with you
in this?
Are you are you like 13 years old, Mike? Like, I don't like.
I no regrets at all naming that. No regrets.
That is,
and
that
what's is great really is like something. If somebody were to like use their spyglass to look at my boat pass by, it actually will, my name will pop up on their screen. Salty Swallow, Captain Rogue Vox.
You're every Rocket League team we play against. That's what you are.
Yeah. 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 Yep. So they gave the ability to name boats. That's my unfortunate name, which I love. They also made it to where you don't have to spend hours trying to gather shit to like stock up on your boat. You don't have to like go collect cannonballs. You can just go to the shipwright and load your boat up full of shit. They also made it easier to turn stuff in, like where before you had to like run to all the different like factions and shit. Whereas now you can, as long as you're on your own boat, you can use the Sovereign faction, which is like kind of set off a little bit away from everything on the outposts. And there are harpoons where you just harpoon everything off your boat real quick and then turn it in to one guy, everything right there. And there's no penalty.
Hmm.
So that makes it extremely easy to sell shit. Like where it used to take 30 minutes to sell all your loot, it could take less than 5 minutes, which is very nice.
That is a much needed improvement, quality of life improvement.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. And what I love about it is it's making all the pro streamers annoyed. They don't like that because like people don't like to PvP a lot in this game, so they'll run away. Right. And so what they can do now is like take their most valuable piece of loot, go to this one thing that's like right on the dock and sell it instantly. And so like streamers are getting pissed because now it's going to be harder to steal loot, which I love.
Yeah. Cry me a river.
Yeah, exactly.
Here, have a Salty Swallow.
Exactly. But like, what else? They allowed you the ability to like further customize your boat. Like you can put like trinkets and all that on your shelves and stuff. You can actually have voyages now on your boat where you don't have to go to a faction guy. You just buy them in bulk from the shipwright and they're just stored on your boat. Jason's holding up a Pokemon
snacks.
When he was calling me 13 just now.
Pokemon graham crackers and Pikachu mini Nidalee wafers. Okay. This is the way.
Where's your high C at? Do you have your Ecto cooler somewhere just chilling?
No, we're good.
Got a Coke Zero. There you go.
It negates out
all the sugar you're eating right now.
all these things.
Right.
Okay.
I got you. But that is pretty much it with Sea Thieves. The new season released last Thursday, and I am renowned level 64, which is the season pass. I'm 60. I'm almost maxed out on my
wow, my so you've pass. Just been like just nonstop Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, we played a little bit yesterday, and we had like I think 20 gold, like the top tier good chests in our boat. And as we were getting ready to leave, somebody snuck on and powder kegged us. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to hop off before I break something.
That's what always kills that game. Like, I go and I play that game like nonstop until that moment happens to me. And then I'm like, all right, fuck this game. Not playing it anymore.
So that, but that's like the first time it happened in like a week. So we've been pretty lucky as far as like people pirating our shit.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I just, those moments, like, they make me want to.
Yeah. It can be very frustrating. Yeah. For sure.
If it happens on the wrong day of the week, it could be catastrophic.
Yeah. And the only reason it happened to us is because we normally do voyages in the Roar, which is where all the volcanoes are, and nobody is out there ever because there are volcanoes out there. So we've just mainly been sticking out there. But for some reason yesterday, we got a voyage that took us like out to the west side of the map, and we were just vulnerable.
Right, right. Well, Sea of Thieves is really a wonderful game. If you haven't checked it out, maybe now is the best time yet to try it.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, should we get on into the news, gents?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, we're going to do something different this week. We're going to skip our topic of the show and go to the news first and then come back to our topic of the show. Topic is quite big, I think. Microsoft has responded to the Sony claims or the Sony answers to the Brazilian FTC questions that we discussed on last week's show. So really interesting little read, I think, and to dissect. So we'll go to that after we do the news speed run and the game announcements, because there isn't much this week. So we'll run through that, and then we'll know about how much time we can dedicate to discussing this article. All right, so let's jump into the new speed run first. A new FAQ on Sony's website hints that PC ports of PlayStation games may require a PSN account at some point in the future. While some answers on the site FAQ are definitive, such as one regarding trophy support for PC gamers, quote, they will not sync with your trophy list on your PSN profile, end quote. Others include the word currently, implying that the situation has the potential to change in the future. Regarding the need for a PSN account to place PlayStation games on PC, the site states, quote, no, you currently do not need a PSN account to enjoy PlayStation Studio games on PC, end quote. The site also says it is currently not possible to transfer save data from the PS4 or PS5 version of a PlayStation Studios game to the PC version. This isn't necessarily the case with Xbox Game Studio tiles, which most require an Xbox Live account for games on Steam. The likes of Forza Horizon 5, Sea of Thieves, Halo Master Chief Collection, As Dust Falls, all state on their Steam pages that they, quote, require third-party Xbox Live accounts, end quote. However, this comes with the benefit of shared achievements and shared save progress. So yeah, I don't think there's much to talk about other than the PSA that there are further changes coming to PlayStation games on PC. I think this is inevitable. PlayStation are figuring out how they do PC games and how they implement all their different services here. So be on the lookout that you might need a PSN account. Hopefully they fix, though, that you know you can have shared save states and stuff once they bring the PSN accounts.
Yeah.
That would be really nice.
So the only ad I'll have on here at all is... you know, you already have to have an Epic account. When I downloaded and got into Multiverses, whether it was on the Xbox or on the PC, it didn't matter. You had to then get a Warner Brothers account.
Right.
You know, so there's already a bunch of like games that you have to have this for, even to the point where like when you get on Steam, once Epic bought Rocket League, you had to like create a Epic account. The other one that does this is even if you own the game for Red Dead Redemption on Epic, you still have to have a Rockstar account. So this exists in a lot of places. I don't think it's a big deal breaker or a big thing. It's kind of fine. And I can say, as someone who plays the PlayStation games on PC, Phil, you don't. Most games, like if I get them on Steam and I go into the launcher on Steam and I click play, it just like launches the game. To this point, all three of the PlayStation games that I have played through Steam, when I click play, it brings up a launcher, and then there's like settings and there's like things that I have to do to like launch the game. Like it doesn't just launch the game. It takes me to like almost like a little game launcher. So definitely PlayStation does it a little different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all very interesting. Yeah. I don't play much on PC, so very good firsthand information there. Thank you. All right, moving on, number two. A number of games that aren't in Xbox Game Pass were tagged with cloud gaming beta logos, suggesting the service may be coming soon. As spotted by Twitter user at Nolbetbrot, I don't know how to say your name, buddy. The Xbox Store added the logo to games like GTA 5, Elden Ring, and Cyberpunk 2077. However, when VGC attempted to play the games, they received an error message suggesting that the labels had been applied early or incorrectly. Microsoft did confirm earlier this year its intent to roll out the ability for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members to play from the cloud, select games that you already own or have purchased outside the Xbox Game Pass library. Microsoft issued the following statement to Eurogamer in response to this. Quote, "We're aware of a bug that incorrectly displayed some titles as available with the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. We rolled out a fix, and this is now updated," end quote. Yeah, they say a bug. It probably is. Oops, we put the label on too soon. But it does sound like this service will be coming soon, which is pretty cool. That means that, you know, if you have purchased a game and you don't have Game Pass Ultimate, there's still potentially a way for you to use utilize cloud game streaming in the near future. That would be really awesome.
That's pretty cool.
All right. Number three, software company AppLovin. What a great name, has proposed an offer to purchase Unity for $17.5 billion in an all-stock deal. Unity is apparently evaluating the offer, which would see the engine creator own 49% of voting power in the new combined company. Currently, Unity is in the midst of plans to merge with another mobile tech company, IronSource. However, the IronSource deal wouldn't progress, obviously, if Unity's board opts for the new AppLovin proposal. Unity is one of the world's most popular game engines used in leading mobile games such as Pokemon Go and Call of Duty. The proposed deal would see John Ricciatiello, the CEO of Unity, become CEO of the joint venture. Ricciatiello was recently embroiled in a controversy when he called developers who don't prioritize monetization, quote, "fucking idiots," end quote, in an interview. He has since apologized and promised to, quote, "do better."
It's a bold move, Cotton.
Yeah, real bold move there. But yeah, I read this one and I thought this was interesting. Obviously, Unity is a well-known game engine that developers use. $17.5 billion in an all-stock deal. It's quite a bit of money for a game engine on its own.
I mean, yeah. But I mean, we've already talked about, like, for instance, you know, Diablo Immortal. These mobile games are bringing in crap tons of money, man.
Yeah, and certainly, I don't know what the terms of Unity's deal is with developers, sure. But obviously Unity is making money off of all of these for sure.
Yeah.
My thing is, I just find it very interesting to see how valuable a game engine in and of itself is to these mm-hmm. companies. It shows why PlayStation, EA, very famously with their Frost engine, have always pushed their internal engines so that they don't have to go and use these external.
Well, one other little thought here is, like, what would it do? You know, let's say they buy this for $17 billion, and, you know, here in the near future, somebody does what Epic did and just goes, like, Unreal Engine 5 is free. You know what I mean? Like, what if someone, like, makes this amazing engine and there's like, here you go, it's free. You know what I mean? Like, makes that $17 billion basically useless. I mean, like, all right, right. You know.
Yeah,
not, I mean, useless. Obviously, maybe, you know, there's reasons to go with this one versus the other. But, right. It, you know, it's just interesting to me. Like, there are free engines out there.
Right. But let's drop $17 billion on this one.
Yeah. Like you said, Unity is tailored towards mobile games, obviously.
It is. I'm saying, like, if there was a free mobile engine, so I'm saying, like, sure, what Epic is doing on non-mobile, but if someone did that for mobile.
Right.
So
I guarantee you right now, Epic is making a mobile version of the Unreal Engine. And they're going to release it for
free.
Don't
they already have something like that?
Probably.
Possibly.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Unreal in of itself is free to download and develop, but the way their deal is structured is that once you sell over a certain amount of copies of a game developed on Unreal, then you have to start paying royalties to Unreal.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So it's not like this, it's not like it's just free and you just take it free.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, number four, Capcom. And this is just for our most dedicated listener. Have to throw in some Monster Hunter Rise news here for you. Capcom has revealed the details of the first update coming to Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, which will bring with it new monsters and challenges. Announced by producer Ryozo Sugimoto and director Yoshitaki Suzuki, the free update arrived on Wednesday of this week, August 10th. Fan favorite monsters have returned as part of the update, as well as an expansion to the Anomaly Quest system for increased challenges and rewards. In addition to all the content that arrived on Wednesday for hunters who have reached Master Rank 10, Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak players will also receive new event quests every week following the update. Quote, last seen in 2013's Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, Lucent Nargacuga, I expect that I pronounced that completely wrong, refracts moonlight off its bright white fur to become nearly invisible, save for its piercing red eyes, end quote. The new 5-star rating for Anomaly Quest will also be included in the update, which includes new afflicted monsters such as Lunagaran and Magma Olmudron. Again, I think I'm butchering these names. You can be unlocked by progressing through the new Anomaly Investigation Quests. Kyle, now that I have read all of this out, I expect you to write in and tell us how you are, in fact, Master Rank 10 already and how this update is awesome. So there you go, Monster Hunter fans.
All right. I was not interested in that at all. I yawned like five times.
Wow. Just threw that right out there, Kyle.
Poor Kyle.
Fired. No, he knows. He knows.
How did you make it through a whole podcast with him where he told you all about Monster Hunter?
My eyes were closed. So I'm kidding.
You know what? All I could think about the entire time you were reading off these names, it's like, man. Dauntless really was a ripoff from Monster Hunter because all of that sounds like Dauntless. Those are like names. I'm like, yeah, okay, I can totally see that being, you know, Lunagaran and Magma Olmudra. I'm like, okay, those have got to be Dauntless creatures.
It really is. Yeah, it's like Dauntless is such a stripped down basic bitch of Monster Hunter.
Yeah, It's like, for sure. It's an American feeling, stripped down Monster Hunter.
Yeah, with microtransactions out the ass.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
All right, so you're really selling Dauntless there. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun.
It was just fun. It didn't last very long. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. All right, well, let's jump into some game announcements. There have been just a few this week. Number one, THQ Nordic has officially unveiled Alone in the Dark, a reimagining of the classic horror series. The new installment was announced during a digital event on Friday, and you can watch the debut trailer out now. Alone in the Dark is a third-person story-driven horror game and is in development at THQ's Swedish studio Pieces Interactive. Speaking of Unreal Engine, that is what is being used to develop this game and will be available for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS and PC at some unconfirmed date in the future. Number two, the devs behind Burnout are creating an ambitious new racer called Recreation. Rec as in W-R-E-C-K, Recreation. The latest game by Three Fields Entertainment wants to be the ultimate open-world sandbox experience for your driving and racing fans alike, featuring 400 square kilometers of racing realm that you can create, shape, and wreck in real time. If you're wondering where the Burnout influence comes in, Three Fields Entertainment was founded by Alex Ward, Fiona Sperry, and Paul Ross back in 2014, all of which used to work at Criterion Games on Burnout and Need for Speed. Again, no current release date yet for this one. Number three, this one was kind of sad. WB and Portkey Games have announced that Hogwarts Legacy has been delayed until 2023. In a post to Twitter, the company said, quote, Hogwarts Legacy will launch on February 10th, 2023 for PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. The Nintendo Switch launch date will be revealed soon. The team is excited for you to play, but we need a little more time to deliver the best possible game experience. So at this point, there's now no games left coming out for the rest of this year, but about 500 coming out between January and March of next year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, seriously. The first quarter next year it's just crazy. But we all knew this was happening.
I mean, Call of Duty is coming out this year.
Yeah, Call of Duty.
Supposedly,
Gotham Knights is still coming out this year.
That's going to get delayed.
And supposedly,
I believe nothing until it happens. Nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. There's going to be games just lost in the first part of next year that are just going to totally bomb because they delayed by 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. Like,
my favorite games that happened to is it a Battle? What is it? Battle something?
Battleborn.
Battleborn. Yes. That happened to that game. Hard.
Yeah, it's because they launched in the same week as
Overwatch.
Overwatch. Yeah.
Look, at some point, some of these games surely do the Top Gun Maverick thing, which is just go like, we have this completely finished, but we're just going to wait a year and a half.
Yeah, just wait until there's a gap somewhere and just stick your game there.
Okay, boom. I mean, like, obviously it worked out really, 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 really well for Top Gun Maverick because they sold a ton. But if they just released like normal on schedule, they would not have made near as much money.
Right.
I agree.
And so some of these games, if you're really confident in your game, at some point, like, you got to start dodging stuff, man. Like, this happens all the time in movies, even not necessarily so much with delays, but like sometimes like Marvel goes like, oh, we're going to change this date, and they move it to another date where there's another movie, and that makes a ripple effect for like three other movies that change their dates because they're like, I'm not releasing my like little, you know, janky love story movie on the same weekend as, you know, Avengers 7. Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I'm so nervous for a bunch of games in the first quarter of next year. It's gonna be a dog eat dog world out there. It's gonna be rough for some developers. All right, number four, Multiverses Season 1 will start next week. Developer Player First Games has confirmed. In a statement on the official Multiverses Twitter account, the studio said, quote, "We're excited to announce Season 1 will begin on August 15th with a brand new battle pass for you to earn in-game rewards," end quote. Morty from Rick and Morty will now not be added on the same day Season 1 starts and will instead arrive the following week on August 23rd. All right. Jason, are you still playing Multiverses? Is this going to get you back into it? Or okay.
I mean, I'm with my kids and stuff like that. It's sort of like Dauntless. It's a fun game. It's not like a hold my attention forever kind of game. It's just like a need something quick and easy.
Very good. All right. Well, Season 1 starting next week for all you Multiverses players. Number five, Capcom has announced that it will be streaming two presentations online during the Tokyo Game Show. The first presentation titled Capcom Online. I think it's because of the two words together. Capcom Online Program, which will take place on September 15th at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, will be a pre-recorded presentation and will feature all the latest Capcom news. The second presentation will be dedicated entirely to Street Fighter VI and will take place the next day on September 16th at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time. Number six, Nintendo has confirmed that a special free Splatfest event for Splatoon 3 will take place 2 weeks before the game is released. The event, which is being dubbed the Splatoon 3 Splatfest World Premiere, will take place from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time on August 27th. I do not care in the slightest, but I know we have some Nintendo fans, and I know this is a big release for y'all, so there you go.
It is? Even Nintendo people care about that? Okay.
Yeah.
Start.
Splatoon is a big deal in the Nintendo world.
Have you ever played it?
I have. Yes.
You don't like it? It looks interesting. No. I've never played it, but it looks kind of fun.
It's Nintendo's answer to a shooter, is what it is.
Okay.
So, yeah. You know, because Nintendo can't actually have like real blood and guts and stuff. They got to have like a very kid-friendly shooter. So, you know. That's what they got to do, I guess. All right, number seven, publisher 2K has delayed the release of Firaxis strategy game Marvel's Midnight Suns. In a statement published on Monday, 2K said that the game, which was originally scheduled to release in October of this year, would now arrive sometime during its current fiscal year, which ends in March 2023. So yet another game out of this fall trying to go into the first quarter of next year. I can assure you that if you do this, 2K, this game will absolutely die. You are just sending it out to pasture. by doing this. I don't think anybody, when this game launches alongside all the other games for Q1 of next year, it's just no one's going to touch it.
Or they could release it now and have Cyberpunk 2.0.
I mean, is it really going to be like that big of a difference if you release four months early?
I mean, it would have made that much of a difference for Cyberpunk.
I don't know. They've been working on Cyberpunk since it came out. That was like almost 2 years ago, and it's still not all the way better.
Yeah. Dude, whenever I saw Publisher 2K, I was like slowly reading past, just looking for BioShock. I'm like, come on, give me another BioShock.
Not yet, at least. All right. Number 8, the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 beta will be available to PlayStation owners first, Activision has confirmed. As a reminder, Modern Warfare 2 is releasing on October 28th of this year, supposedly. Supposedly. We'll believe it when October 28th arrives. There will be an open beta available to all players on all formats, while those who pre-ordered Modern Warfare 2 will get an extra period of early access. According to Activision, the beta will begin will be available at the following dates. For PlayStation, early access is September 16th through 17th, and then the open beta, there will be three opportunities for the open beta, September 18th through 20th, 22nd through 23rd, and then the 24th through 26th. For Xbox and PC players, early access will be September 22 through 23, and then open beta will get just one opportunity, September 24th through 26th. All right. That's it for the news this week, for the game updates, the game announcements. So let us jump into this topic, which I think is a big deal, but we'll see how the conversation takes us. And that is that Xbox, or someone at Xbox, has written to the Brazilian FTC in direct response to what Sony claimed last week when they answered questions from the Brazilian FTC in regard to the merger of Microsoft and Activision Blizzard. So what I think is most interesting about this information, and we'll kind of dissect it piece by piece because there's a lot here, but what I think is most interesting is that we're basically getting a locker room tape from inside of Microsoft that tells us exactly how they feel about all of these pieces, and it aligns very closely with what we've been saying for months now about what their strategy is, how they're competing with PlayStation, and what's really going on behind the scenes. And I think what we're going to see here is that what is emerging is that there is genuinely a console war, so to speak, happening behind the scenes between these two developers or these two publishers, but really it's centered around business models, the buy-to-play versus the subscription service business model. So I think that's what we're going to see as we start uncovering this, but some really, I think, interesting key points to discuss here. Before we start going through and dissecting this, anything, Mike, why don't we start with you, your first initial thoughts here when I linked this to you this week when this came out.
I think it's kind of shitty on Sony's part because, like, I guess we'll get into it later, but the part where it says that Sony is paying publishers to keep games from getting onto Game Pass, like, I don't get that mentality. I know they're trying to, like, keep Game Pass, like, from growing, but what you're essentially doing is you're, like, if it's the game's still going to Xbox, I mean, they'll just buy the game. They're not going to go to PlayStation because they can't get it on Game Pass. So all you're doing is just like, I think it's just kind of anti-consumer. It's kind of flirting on that.
Yeah, very much so.
It's you're it's shitty. It's plain and simple.
Yeah, I can't argue with that for sure. That is the bombshell revelation out of this, is that Microsoft are accusing Sony of not paying for exclusivity of games, but paying developers to keep their games off of Game Pass.
Even though the games are still going to Xbox. Like, right? Yeah. I mean, they're still going. Like, what do you do? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, they're just basically saying you can sell there, but you cannot sign a deal with Microsoft to include your game as part of Game Pass.
Right, which is, you know, you do things like, for instance, you know, EA has gone in and kind of signed a deal where their EA play works on through Game Pass, right?
Right.
Ubisoft was starting to kind of do some of that, and there was talks of some other ones doing it too, and then they just kind of went away. So
yeah,
wonder why they went away.
Like, instead of paying for this, like, work on yourself, like, invest in your company to make it better to compete against Microsoft's Game Pass.
Well, we jumped the gun real hard on that, but I'll say, since it's out, we're talking about that. That's a big part of this. And I will just say what I had said about it in our pre-show that drove me nuts is it's literally no different than what Microsoft is doing. Microsoft is going to these developers. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously they're doing their own, but they're getting additional games. They're getting these other developers and they're paying them.
Right.
Them release the game as part of Game Pass, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense for these other games to be in Game Pass, right? Like, they're basically mm-hmm. saying, hey, we will pay you more money than what you'll probably make if you were to just sell this, and it's all at once up front, boom, here you go. It's like worry free. We're gonna give right. you this lump sum, and you know, with the exception of this crazy unbeknown success, you would make more money from us paying you.
Right.
Just outright sell your game. Right.
Right.
And what Sony is doing is saying, we will pay you to not put it on there. And then we want to turn around and make our players pay us.
Right.
Yeah.
What they could be doing is exactly what Sony is doing or Xbox is doing, which is we will pay you to then turn and give it to the players. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to pay you and then turn and charge the hell out of you.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt so money grabby. Like, they are literally doing the exact same thing that Microsoft is doing, and vice versa, turning around and releasing statements like, we can't afford to do that. We don't believe it's an affordable, we don't believe this is an affordable business model, and we don't believe that yeah. this is something that's successful, and it's something that because our games are better, we can't do. And it was all about money. Like, we just don't think it's a successful business model, and it's something right. we can do. Lo and behold, they're doing it under the table anyway, and then yeah. just earning and charging everybody full price for it instead of just doing exactly what they're doing, which is paying for it, and then releasing it day one on their service. But no, they're not going to release day ones, with the exception yeah. of, you know, they're going to turn and charge you for it. It just,
right.
oh man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so presumably, right, if let's say Microsoft goes to Square Enix and they want to buy Outriders for Game Pass, which they did. And mm-hmm. Square Enix might tell them that'll be $40 million or something. I'm throwing out a number. I don't know what it was, right?
Right.
Presumably that when Sony goes to Square Enix and says, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, we don't want you to put that on Game Pass day one. Here's $10 million to keep you from doing that, because it wouldn't cost as much, presumably,
right.
to tell a developer, hey, don't sign that deal. Instead, just sell your game. I would hope, at least. But I mean, if right. Sony are legitimately paying the same amounts of money,
right.
right.
that would be even worse for sure. But
here's what I would say. Just so I'm going to jump in and just say, as a whole, I feel like it still feels very much like last week, which I was the voice on here going like, it's not fair. It still feels whiny. I still think it was shitty by Sony to come out and even like present it the way that they did. Right.
Right.
And so good on Microsoft on responding back and responding with like, instead of just whining, responding with like actual, like, here's how these things work. Here's what we're doing. Here's why, you know, Call of Duty will not be taken away from them. Here's why it's right. still good. Here's why we wouldn't do that because of X and Y. And
yeah.
I feel like Sony was whining last week, and this week Xbox was the adult that came to the table and said, like, okay, here's why we do this. Now let's just sit here and talk it out like big adult people.
Right.
You know, and stuff on temper tantrums. Right. And so right. like, that's just how it feels. So while we're talking about the big, and I say that, that's my little like overview, and one of you can have an overview too, if you'd like, but I feel like since we went ahead and jumped and started talking about the whole, like, you know, PlayStation paying, do you want to at least like go to that section of what we were going to talk about and talk about that first? Or do you want to go through like,
I think that it links in with some stuff that, okay. that leads up to that. So I think it still makes sense to leave it where it's at, but we'll come back to it. Okay. Mike, anything else you want to say before I kind of jump into this?
Let's jump into it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So let's just kind of, there's a lot here, and any listener that wants the whole document, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter or whatever, and I'll happily link you to this whole document. I am in no way going to read that on the show because we would spend an hour probably reading that on the show. So I'm going to read little snippets of it, and we'll talk to it as we go. So this is sort of the general upfront part of it, right? So Microsoft starts out by stating that they understand the relevant markets defined during the Bethesda acquisition are still relevant here. That means no segmentation by genre, and that the market for digital distribution of games includes buy-to-play and other subscription services. This is really important. This is a really important distinction. And it's one that Sony could very much argue with the FTC in saying that these are not inclusive markets. But the reason why this is important is that Microsoft are stating that these two business strategies exist within the same segmentation of the market, that digital buy-to-play or digital subscription services are in the same realm. And the reason why that's important is because basically Microsoft are the only ones competing really right now in the subscription service model. So if Sony were able to successfully argue that those are two separate business strategies, then Microsoft is very clearly dominant in that realm right now. And they don't want that because that would be anti-competitive, et cetera, et cetera, right? So this is a really important distinction that Microsoft are claiming upfront. Whether you agree with it or not is up to debate. I personally completely agree with this. I think that they are just two different ways of distributing digital games, two different business models for distributing digital games in the same space. Mm-hmm. So I agree completely with what Microsoft are saying here.
Yeah,
they go on to say that in all the relevant markets, they'll have a market share of less than 20%. That usually means that there is no risk of anti-competitive effects. There's only one market where they have more than that, in the digital distribution of games, where Microsoft would have a more than 30% market share. So that's, again, really important. They're kind of trying to state up front, like, hey, look, even with this deal, we are in no way like the biggest in any of our market shares that we're competing in with this. Mm-hmm. So another important distinction for Microsoft to state up front. Finally, about Sony specifically and what Sony has said, Microsoft said, quote, "Not surprisingly, Sony was the only third party to convey public opinion materially different from MSABK or Microsoft Activision Blizzard King and the third parties regarding the competitive analysis of the transaction," end quote. Microsoft go on to say that Sony have basically stated sort of two main points, and that's what we're going to get into. The first one being Activision Blizzard's Call of Duty franchise would be unrivaled and is therefore essential for the PlayStation console. And that number two, the inclusion of Activision Blizzard content in the Game Pass catalog would represent a, quote, tipping point in that market. So those are the two big things that Microsoft is stating up front that Sony is claiming that Microsoft want to address. Does that all make sense as sort of like an opener to all of this?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So let's kind of jump into how Microsoft are responding to that. So they say, Microsoft, believe that, quote, "Sony's isolated position can likely be explained by the fact that Microsoft's subscription game offering Game Pass was launched as Microsoft's competitive response to Xbox failure in the console wars, and the need to offer players additional value compared to the buy-to-play traditional model. In this way, Game Pass threatens to compete more effectively with the buy-to-play model, which Sony has successfully adopted." So all of that breaking down, Microsoft are admitting they fucked up in the Xbox One generation. They lost big time to PS4, and they had to find a way to come back and try to start competing with PlayStation. And their answer to that was, let's go subscription. Let's add value to the gamer. Let's make it appealing to gamers to come to our console, pay a single flat fee, and get all of these games. And that's our way of trying to draw people back to Xbox, because if we try to just continue to compete on the buy-to-play traditional model that Sony has, they'd have no chance. And that's exactly what we've seen unfold over the last 5 years. Yeah. I mean, hands down. And I think it's working. What do you guys think?
I mean, I agree. It is 100% working. I mean, if you see that what you're doing is not working, you're not going to keep running into that wall. You're going to be like, all right, let's stop and think outside the box. And they thought way the hell outside the box to get people to come back to play Xbox.
For sure. You know, and effectively now they're kind of lining up this whole thing of saying that what Sony's trying to say is, if you add Call of Duty to this, well, now we're in trouble comparative to this other business model. And so it's on Microsoft here to try to explain that away. So keep that in mind as we listen to the other stuff that they have to say.
Just real quickly, on that note, it's funny. Sony basically saying, this is not long-term viable, and you can't do this. And then in turn, they're going like, They're doing too good at this, and it will kill us.
Yeah,
and, come on. What sucks is like there are other games on PlayStation that are so much better, I think, than a Call of Duty game. Like you're diminishing your other titles because of Call of Duty.
That's a good point.
Like Call of Duty, I mean, yes, it's a great shooter, but you have a variety of other games that are so good.
And let's stop for just a second too, and go like a big part of this talk is. That because Call of Duty is the top selling game every time when it comes out, right?
Right.
Right.
But Call of Duty is on all consoles and on PC and on and then they're turning around and having games like, for instance, Spider-Man, which I'm playing now, whatever, 4 years after the fact, you know what I mean? Right. It only releases on PlayStation. If it released on all, it'd probably have a hell of a lot more sales.
You know? Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So let's just hold up a second here and talk about titles that are releasing universally and not like on one console.
Right.
And instead of acting like they're the same thing, because they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's much better to compare to something like GTA 5, which is the highest selling video game of all time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know? So I want to jump here because you made an excellent point, Jason. And I'm going to jump down to another section real quick and just go ahead and insert it because I think it's really important because Microsoft themselves bring this up. And that was about how if, you know, Sony are saying, well, Game Pass, you know, is not a viable long-term solution, but then they turn around and say, well, you could be doing too good here. and so Microsoft actually addresses this. They say Sony contradicts itself. They say Activision Blizzard titles have not been included so far in Game Pass, but the service has managed to attract and engage millions of players. So if Game Pass proves successful without making this type of game available, logically such content cannot be considered essential for the game distribution channel to be competitive. But yes, I mean, Sony are like flipping around in all sorts of different pretzels and twists on this, right?
Right.
They're trying to say that, well, the only way that you're going to make Game Pass successful is by adding Call of Duty to it. But also, they've said that it's not a viable long-term solution, but also they've said that Game Pass is becoming really competitive to their model, and so that's why it should be stopped.
What? My God.
It doesn't make any sense, right?
That's how capitalism works, right?
I mean, that is exactly right.
Like, the 101.
Yeah, so, that is...
this is... not really super relative, but it is a little bit. I was listening recently to a business podcast, and they were talking about, you know, planning for the future and making decisions and how difficult it is. And especially when it's talking like money and you're talking about these big boards and big public companies and big, and like they feel all the pressure of losing money to make long-term decisions. Right.
Right.
And this went specifically on Blockbuster.
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah, when Netflix came out, Netflix was, you know, they were originally the whole like, okay, a subscription service for DVDs, right? But right off the bat, I mean, Netflix immediately was all about, I mean, and it was a known thing that they're doing digital and that digital was the thing, but they weren't ready yet. They didn't have the servers. They didn't have the capacity. And so until they got to that point, they were like using this, you know, DVD model to like bridge the gap to get them there. So Blockbuster had this, you know, specific guy who it was his job basically to like look into and research and report back and, you know, come to a strategy. And he went back to them, to the board of Blockbuster and said, we have got to go to this model. You know, it's going to be the end of us. We have to swap and also go digital. And the reason why Blockbuster does not exist today and the reason why Blockbuster failed, because Blockbuster, again, was the only national chain, right? Or the only entity really in their source, right? That was the big boy. And the reason was because 12% of all the income from Blockbuster's income is from late fees.
Yeah.
And if they went to the subscription service, they would no longer have late fees, and it would cost them 12%.
So they lost their company over 12%.
They don't exist because of 12%.
That's funny. So their board were unwilling to sacrifice that 12%.
That kind of screams some of that here is what I'm saying. Like they're all long term because of the short term right now over my $60 game or whatever, right? Like it's like, oh.
Yeah, and you could argue to say that Microsoft's long term vision here, because they've showed their hand. Their long term vision is streaming apps on your TV, on your computer, on your MacBook,
on your phone,
everywhere. They want the streaming app everywhere. They want Game Pass streaming app everywhere for people, so that people can play with a subscription fee anywhere they want all of this library of games. That's their long-term goal. Of course, short-term, they don't have all that infrastructure in place. So where do we have infrastructure? Well, we sell an Xbox and we are Windows. So we're on like every PC.
Right.
So let's put our stuff right there, start it, get Game Pass going so that when we suddenly add our app to every fucking hardware device in the world, everybody already knows what Game Pass is. They already understand the model. So I mean, you could argue that we're staring at a Blockbuster right here.
You said something there that gave me a good, like, you know what? That's exactly what it is. Like, let's look at what is Microsoft? Mm-hmm. Microsoft is a software company. Mm-hmm. Like way back in the beginning, they are a software company. They were never producing machines. They were never a hardware. They came out with software and they license it out and they do software. And that's why there's PCs or like all these segmented, all these different brands, and blah, 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 because they're just giving them the software. And that's what they are, is a software company. Sony is literally the opposite.
It's Sony a hardware company.
Is a hardware company.
Yep.
And Sony is concerned about their hardware, and Microsoft is pushing software.
They just went back to doing what they know they can do good at. Yeah.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Right back to what, like, we can do this. We've proven it works, and we made a lot of money off of it.
Yeah. Right. Like somebody, they'll use somebody else's hardware.
Yeah. Like let them fight through, you know, factories and blah blah blah. Like, you know, they've already proven it works.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, you could be right that we could be looking at a Blockbuster here, and Sony is the Blockbuster.
But I'll back up a little bit. I'm going to say something that's pro Sony here, though. Sony, now I'm going to say, who's a hardware company who has been successful?
Yeah.
Apple. Apple is a hardware company too, though. Now, don't get me wrong, Apple also has software. They have their own software. But to an extent, so does Sony, and that Sony has to develop an operating system for their software and stuff like that. But I'm not sitting here saying like the only way is Microsoft, because clearly, you know, Apple is big as well, but they're just very different models. So Sony could end up being the Apple here. So I'm not saying like this is death for Sony.
And they still make great hardware. It's just maybe their console is going to be in a little bit of trouble.
I mean, they make great hardware and they make great software in terms of video game software.
Right. Yeah.
I hope that this is not another Blockbuster. I think Sony are starting to see the writing on the wall of where this is going. And this is sort of their last play of like, can we stop this in any way? And I think, you know, they're going to quickly realize that there's too much momentum behind this at this point, and their answer has to come at some point down the road. Let's get back to some of the words here.
Mm-hmm.
So Microsoft has basically accused Sony of, like I said, trying to stop this new business model. So they say, quote, in short, Sony is not resigned to having to compete with Microsoft's subscription service. Sony's public outcry on subscription games and the company's response are clear. Sony doesn't want attractive subscription services to threaten its dominance in the market for digital distribution of console games. In other words, Sony rails against the introduction of new monetization models capable of challenging its business model, end quote. So yeah, I mean, it's clear. Everything that we've just saying, it's clear this is how Microsoft view the situation. Mm-hmm. Whether or not that's true is up for debate, I guess. But I really don't think it is. I think it's pretty damn obvious from everything Jim Ryan has said publicly about subscription models not being viable long term, you know, based on Sony's response to the FTC last week, or the Brazilian FTC. I always call it that because it's not technically called the FTC, it's some other name, but it's the same.
It's equivalent. Yeah.
Yeah. It's clear that, Microsoft's accusations are what's happening. Yeah. Sony doesn't want to go away from digital distribution buy to play console games. They view that as the best way to make money because they can set a value, $70 or $80 or $90. Who knows what video games will cost in 5, 10, 15 years. And that's how they want to sell games. They don't want to have to go to a subscription service. And so, you know, Sony's responses and the way Sony is handling this is because they want to push back and try to stop the growth of Microsoft subscription services. Yeah. Now, I think what you can really argue, though, or where the debate really is in this topic is whether or not subscription service is a business model that we want in gaming. And I know that for us, Game Pass is, it makes so much sense. And, and obviously we really enjoy the service. But I think there is an argument and a case to be made that that could drive down the quality of the games industry over time, long term. And I think that's where the debate comes in for gamers. And we don't have to try to figure that one out tonight. But I think, you know, It's not as straightforward to sit here and say, well, Sony's bad because this is what they're trying to argue and they don't want their subscription or their business strategy hurt in any way. And so therefore, Sony's bad because they said that. I don't think it's as simple as saying it that way because the reality is Sony is trying to save and prop up its business strategy and Microsoft is trying to implement its business strategy and they are very competitive in terms of their very different ways of approaching it. And so I think really that is where the big debate comes in terms of what people should really be thinking about and focusing on rather than just kind of pointing to Sony and saying you're bad for arguing with Microsoft in this case.
Right. I mean, only time can tell. Like so far, if we kind of like go off to a different type of content, like we can look at Netflix and all that. As far as like, there's like, whatever, how long have they been out since what? 2008, 2009.
When you say
their streaming service, Netflix.
Man,
they've been out for since 2009, I think, as far as strictly streaming. And I haven't seen any like quality of the movies going down. I mean, there are some shitty shows that Netflix puts out, but like so far, like overall, I think the majority of them are still pretty good. So I think it's going to be, we're going to kind of see something similar in the games world where, yeah, we'll have some crappy games, but overall, we should still have some decently fun quality games.
Yeah, and I think that just amounts to making sure that Nintendo and Sony, who are pursuing more of the buy to play business strategy, that they figure out ways to continue to adapt and stay relevant so that they keep Microsoft honest and what they put out for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just trying to look up Netflix. They were founded in 1997. I don't know when streaming kind of really kicked off. I'd have to probably do a little bit more
reading. I remember like first subbing to Netflix like in 2010.
Yeah. So it looks like they started transitioning in 2007 over to a streaming model.
Right.
And then it says, yeah, I think just that whole period between 2007 and 2012 was when they were really starting to ramp up and transition over to a streaming service model.
That's so like 15 years is what they've been around.
Yep. All right. So let's move on into the next segment of what is being said here by Microsoft. And that is, you know, their response to article number two, being that the inclusion of Activision Blizzard would be represent some kind of tipping point. And specifically, they start by trying to address where Sony is effectively trying to say that Call of Duty is a genre market of its own. Mm-hmm. Microsoft believes that Sony does not present an element or any element to substantiate this claim, saying, quote, Sony is limited to commenting on Call of Duty's brand strength and loyalty and engagement. However, claiming that Call of Duty has a loyal following is a premise from which the conclusion that the game is a, quote, category of a game of games itself, end quote, does not follow. The PlayStation itself has a foundation established by players loyal to the brand. This finding, however, does not lead to the conclusion that the PlayStation or any branded product with loyal customers is somehow a separate market from all other consoles, end quote. So effectively, Microsoft is saying Sony tried to claim that Call of Duty is so big that it's its brand of its own because of its loyal followers, and that because of that, nobody could ever breach this market. And Xbox is saying that doesn't make any fucking sense. You yourself have created a huge loyal following of people that go console to console, and nobody's trying to argue that Sony PlayStation 5 is somehow a category of console its own and therefore is anti-competitive because nobody could ever breach the console market.
So, well, you know what? I mean, the way it sounds like to me, like the best, like, you know, parallel I can get of that, of what Sony is kind of saying, and it, a little bit to me, is it almost is saying like, well, the MCU is so, they release movies that have such a following that no other movies could ever be made now. People will only want to watch Marvel movies.
Right. Yeah.
Because they're so good and they have such a huge following. No one else should be, can make movies anymore because it's just ever. Too good over at Marvel. Disney is too good now. Right. They have such a huge following. There's just that's it. It's it now. No one else make movies.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, last week we definitely argued the same point that, like, I mean, Sony itself has resistance and fallout or not fallout. I do this all the time. Killzone and SOCOM. They literally have three first-person shooter franchises there that if they just tried, if they put the effort in, they could have their own.
It's like they should just put their money into investing back into themselves.
Yeah, rather than paying for games to not go to Game Pass.
But guys, they make better games than everyone else, remember?
Yeah.
That's why they can't go this business model, because they spend so much money because their games are better than everyone else's games.
And that's a virtuous cycle. Remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Success begets success because their games are better than everyone else's.
Yeah. Oh, but they cannot compete with Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Ugh. We can't. Not in this market.
Yeah.
In this economy?
Yeah, no, not happening. Microsoft also attests to the fact that Call of Duty can't be a category of its own because it also faces strong competition from games of multiple genres and types. I think they're basically pointing to things like Fortnite here. They're saying like, hey, like Call of Duty competes with other games like Fortnite that's not necessarily the same game, but yet is competing for the same market share of players. And so
that and Battlefield.
Yeah.
Back in the day. I don't know about now. Yeah, Battlefield's kind of ass right now. But it can get better. It can get better.
But yeah, I mean, 100%. Games like Fortnite, games like PUBG, games like Apex, games like Fall Guys even. Like these games that have huge multiplayer, streamer-focused audiences are 100% still competitive to Call of Duty. They're going for the same types of players. So... that's the other point that Xbox is or Microsoft is making here.
Right.
All right. So let's jump into the next little portion that Microsoft digs at here, and that's the suggestion that Call of Duty is essential for game publishers. And to answer that, they kind of pointed to consumer spending on PlayStation and the percentage of digital sales worldwide, noting that only two of the 20 best-selling console games last year came from Activision Blizzard. And they point out that a lot of the games on that top 20 list are exclusive games to Nintendo and Sony platforms. Therefore, Microsoft believes that Call of Duty is just one game among a wide range of best-selling games, many of which are not even available on Xbox due to exclusivity strategies adopted by Microsoft's direct competitors. That is a very big...
Why does, how does Sony not see this shit? Like, how?
Yeah.
Like, before you go
talking, man. It was just
do research. Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, Jason, you kind of mentioned again, like, the temper tantrum thing, right? Like, the way I kind of view it is you see this happen on social media a lot where someone will come in and whine about whatever political thing or whatever it is, right? And they'll just kind of throw out the talking points of the day and just complain about it. And then you'll get somebody that responds to them and they'll be like, well, what about this specific data? And they'll go like 10 points deep of like actual examples of why that's ridiculous. And then the person just responds with like some other big talking point, you know? And that's what it kind of feels like here, that Sony was just like, hey, everybody thinks Microsoft are bad and they're stealing from us. So let's just say that. And then Microsoft would come out and just lay fact after fact on top of PlayStation here. And yeah, I'd be interested to see how Sony responds to this. I'm going to jump forward again here to try to continue getting through all of this. So Microsoft then go on to address Sony's hypothetical concerns of Microsoft gaining an untenable lead in subscription servers services. And in order to do that, they lay out several points. The first of which is that it is not part of Microsoft's strategy to remove content from players. They've said this already, that Call of Duty would not go exclusive to Xbox platforms, that it'll stay multi-platform. So again, you know, they're trying to say like, hey, it can't possibly create some sort of monopoly because we're going to continue providing that game on your console. We'll just sell it over there. There's no Game Pass, but we'll sell it over there.
Dude, I want a freaking, like, whenever PlayStation players launch Call of Duty, I want a big fat Xbox logo to pop up before the game launches.
Yeah.
Xbox Studios.
That happens with Minecraft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, they're doing this already now with games like, and we've talked about it, how like when you know, like when Halo released and when the Age of Empires released, mm-hmm. it was like one of the top selling games on Steam, which means there's still that many people who aren't on Game Pass and their only access to it was pay for it. I mean, this will be the same thing where it's still a game that's available to buy somewhere else. It's just available to buy over at PlayStation.
Yeah.
It, you know,
and this Call of Duty is going to be released on Steam as well, the next one.
Yeah, right. So.
Yeah, and that's actually exactly what point number two is here, where they say data shows that players see subscription servers as only one of many ways in which one can pay for games. They say, quote, if subscription servers compete with the buy-to-play model, as recognized by Sony itself, and Activision content will continue to be distributed through the buy-to-play channel, then players can simply choose which payment model they prefer to access Activision consoles, end quote.
Yeah.
Or Activision content, end quote. Sorry. So yeah, that's exactly what you're saying, Jason, is that people can just still buy it, and they could still just choose to buy it, even though they have access to Game Pass. They might prefer to buy it. The third point they make is that Microsoft says that Sony's insinuation that Game Pass could achieve unattainable leadership in the subscription service is inconsistent with the market definition that Sony itself provided. They say subscription services represent a recent monetization strategy. As much as Game Pass has been a pioneer, it is a dynamic space with new services and content emerging, and there are already a number of incumbents and services. Sony itself already offers a subscription service, PlayStation Plus, which the company has been able to scale from its existing user base. The size of the PlayStation platform and its exclusive content. In fact, Sony has surpassed Microsoft in terms of console sales and install base, having sold more than twice as many Xboxes in the last generation. So again, Microsoft is pointing to its own loss here and saying, look, you guys have such a base of install and consoles already out there. If you decided to go to something like this, you could very easily catch and eclipse us because you just have a bigger install base.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then finally, their fourth reason is completely redacted from the report, so we have no idea what they were talking about there. I presume that it was something really good. I do like some of this other stuff that's kind of put in here, talking about Sony's leadership position in digital distribution of games. Again, they really go after them. Quote, Sony is in fact the largest digital distributor of console games. Therefore, Sony's concerns with the potential competition of Game Pass simply reflects the usual resistance of traditional incumbents to competition on merit represented by disruptive players, end quote. Again, it feels like Blockbuster here, right? Blockbuster, yeah. And Netflix, right?
Yeah.
So I hope Sony evolve and adapt. Again, Microsoft continues going after them. Quote, the fear that an innovative business model that gives consumers access to high quality content and lower upfront costs threatens its position as leadership in the gaming industry, with Microsoft moving away from a device centric business strategy, end quote. I mean, they're basically again saying like the reason why Sony are throwing a fit is because we might actually be able to finally break into this stranglehold that they've had on the market for the last 15 years or whatever it is, or right. Even longer, really, because once Sony beat down Nintendo, even with Xbox coming in and trying to compete in 2001, mm-hmm. they never really took the mantle back from Sony. So,
yeah,
I mean, it makes sense what they're saying. But again, it all comes down to whether or not, I guess, you want Microsoft to win in this argument or Sony. Whichever your preferred model is. But I would argue, why can't both of these exist in the same space and allow players that opportunity to choose?
Right. Agreed.
Agreed. they also poke at Sony CEO Jim Ryan, saying how he revealed the company's strategy of not including new titles on PlayStation Plus on game launch day, which according to Microsoft clearly exposes their resistance to a business model that threatens the device-centric strategy that Sony currently uses. I think that's obvious. We've pointed that out many times on the show.
Yeah.
At this point, we get into the Blockbuster accusation of Microsoft claiming that Sony are paying for what they call, quote, blocking rights to prevent developers from adding content to Game Pass and other competing subscription services. Where this is interesting or where this expands on this is that Microsoft state that they are Microsoft also point out that the use of exclusive arrangements has been at the heart of Sony's strategy to strengthen its presence in the gaming industry. Microsoft says that in addition to owning exclusive first-party content, Sony has also entered in agreements with third-party publishers to secure other forms of exclusivity with respect to certain games, such as marketing exclusivity or exclusivity rights with respect to downloadable content. Again, this is something I pointed out last week. I know we've all talked about it before, but like, Sony went and they bought all of the marketing strategy for Call of Duty through the entire PS4 generation because they knew it would fucking sell consoles. And now they're upset that Microsoft are coming in and basically buying that back away from them.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, you made a great point on that last week, and that's exactly what this is.
You know, so, I mean, Sony can have hurt feelings, but as Mike pointed out, this is business. This is capitalism. This is how this shit works. And, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, as the saying always goes, right?
Yep.
All right, the last little bit on here, and then we'll be done with this topic. Microsoft's final little bit that they go into is the strategy of retaining Activision Blizzard games and not distributing them in rival console stores would simply not be profitable for Microsoft, because such a strategy would only be profitable if Activision Blizzard's games were able to attract a sufficiently large number of gamers to the Xbox console ecosystem. If Microsoft could earn enough revenue from the sale of games to offset the losses arising from non-distribution of such games on rival consoles. They're basically saying, like, we'll never not continue to put Call of Duty everywhere because it would lose us too much money to make it exclusive.
Right.
But I would argue that...
Well, but even to that point, even Halo and these other games that are their first-party games, they're putting in other places. Not on Sony, but it's available on Steam and other places.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they are being truthful there.
For sure. Yeah. But I would also kind of couch this with saying they're pointing to consoles, right? Would be profitable if Activision Blizzard's games were able to attract a sufficiently large number of gamers to Xbox consoles. But we just stated up front that we have all seen Microsoft's end goal is not the hardware. Their end goal is a piece of software, an app everywhere.
Yeah.
So be careful with taking this at face value, because if Microsoft really get into that, they could just straight up be like, all right, now it's not on PlayStation, because you can play it literally fucking anywhere.
Yeah.
Just except PlayStation.
Except PlayStation. Yeah.
And at that point, it may not lose them much money. In fact, they may be making plenty anyway without it.
Yeah.
So that's it. I think this was a really interesting read. I really had fun digesting it and dissecting it and discussing it with y'all. I hope the listeners enjoyed that too. Any final thoughts as we move out of this?
So I know of it. I've listened a few times, but I'm not a regular listener like you are to I can't think of the name
Sacred
of the
Symbols. Big podcast.
Sacred Symbol. What was their take on this last week?
So their take on Sony's claims or Microsoft's response?
Sony's, because the Microsoft one, I don't think they've gotten to yet.
Yeah, so they discussed it in today's episode, which is Patreon only so far, and I haven't listened to it yet. Okay. But last week in discussing Sony's statement, they kind of were... they were very similar to what we were saying last week, but a slightly more Sony positive take on it.
That's what I mean. I was just curious. I guess my only concern or my only thought is, like, for the listeners that are out there that are thinking, like, you know, man, these guys really freaking hate PlayStation right now. That's not, you know what I mean? Like, cause it sounds like we have just dumped all over PlayStation for two straight weeks. And you know, I don't know. I still like Sony. Again, I was a Sony guy up until Xbox One. I still describe things with square, triangle, X, and circle. And, you know, and I like a lot of the Xbox games, and I don't have a problem with them. I do, though, as a PC gamer, find more value in Xbox. And I enjoy the model that currently Xbox is using. And just in this particular segment, I just side with Xbox, and I just want to, you know, I'd love to hear from people who come in and, you know, don't feel like this is a one-sided and we're shoving all PlayStation aside type of points. But it's just hard for me to, like, because I don't feel like we have that voice on this podcast, you know, specifically right now on this exact issue. We're all on the same side. And so, you know, it'd be interesting to hear somebody else on the other side, you know, kind of combat that with us or talk it. But I don't want it to feel dictated, but at the same time, I just feel like, you know, I do feel this is what we're, you know, saying is right, which is why we're saying it. But I just don't want people to feel like, you know, we're just completely trying to be jerks here and dismissive of Sony or whatever. I think the better money is on the Xbox side on this for the value for me.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, I hear you for sure. Mike, you want to add anything to that?
No, I mean, I completely agree. I actually was trying to find a Sacred Symbols episode about this, and it just, like you said, hadn't released yet. Because I do want to hear the other side of it. You know what I mean?
I'm
just pretty pro PlayStation for the most part, right?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Colin Moriarty, the host of that show, he always claims he's not a fanboy. And I think to the truest speak of a fanboy, he's not.
Yeah.
But he is very pro PlayStation.
Yeah.
And this is why I said that, like, you have to look at this argument of the models that are being competed against each other. Buy to play versus subscription. Because if you believe subscription services could ultimately be a negative, then 100% I can understand why you would support Sony in this argument. And we shouldn't just, and that's why I keep saying, like, it cannot just be, oh, Sony bad because they disagree with this. Of course they disagree with it. Their model is based on selling hardware and once they have that install base of hardware, of getting people to buy software on that hardware, because they get so much profit on their store when people come in and buy those games on their store. That's what their business model is based off. So of course they want to you know, state a position against Microsoft and Xbox's subscription service because it is threatening and competitive to their business model.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't want it to be a just Sony bad because they don't agree with Xbox. It's only bad to us because we are supportive of subscription services and we believe that they work well for us as consumers and that they can be our future.
Best, I think it's the best money and, you know, the best value in gaming. I mean, I really do.
Yeah. I just, and I want to, like, because I'm somewhat biased, I'm not afraid to admit it. And I just want to hear the other side. Like, I want to hear their point of views. So that's why.
I guess that's what I'm saying too. I just, I don't want to come across as like, this is the only way, this is it. All the rest of you, you know, aren't allowed here.
No, I mean, I've stated very clearly on the show that I'm more of a PlayStation gamer at this point.
Yeah.
None of what I've seen over the last 2 weeks deters me from that.
Sure.
You know, I see this as finally someone's going to come in and really turn the screws on PlayStation and force them to start making some changes that will be more pro-consumer. I mean, I think that PlayStation Plus Premium was born out of having to compete with this. I think Sony games going to PC is born out of them having to compete with Xbox embracing PC and embracing subscription services. So I think there are good things
from that.
So I think that's what's important. I don't necessarily like to, you know, well, actually I don't mind it, but you know, to prop up other podcasts on our podcast, Sacred Symbols goes free to everybody on Tuesdays. So the episode that came out today where they do dissect and discuss this Sony or this Microsoft response. So
you'll listen to us first and then you'll get them on Tuesday.
Exactly. Now their shows are quite long. So maybe if you just want that specific segment, they do timestamp their shows. And so you can go jump to that. When I say they're quite long, I mean, they frequently go 4+ hours on their shows.
Do they? Oh my God. How? How do they do that?
Yeah. They have some significant detailed discussion and they go through a lot of stuff on theirs. So anyway, I think we actually lost Jason again. He's had trouble. For those of you that have not realized throughout the entire show, Jason has had issues. And we somehow managed to make it this far without letting you realize it, but I think he's not hearing us again. So I think it's about time to get out of here though.
Yeah, let's have before shit breaks again.
Yeah. So, all right. So upcoming releases, 2 Point Campus came out this week. So if you want your college campus building sim, you can go get that. And Spider-Man Remastered, which Jason touched on early on in the show, that's what he's playing. That's also out on PC this week. And then in a couple of weeks, we got Saints Row coming out and Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed. Epic Game Store's free game is Cook, Serve, Delicious! !3? A cooking and business management game that is designed to drive you insane. And yes, the 3? On the end is real. Apparently, even the developers couldn't believe that they were allowed to make a third game. If you want to go try that out, it's available from August 12th through 19th. Amazon, we've talked about their free titles for August. Those are still out there to grab. Games of Gold, again, we've talked about those. Those are still out there to grab, although Saints Row 2 is only available until August 15th. So if you want that, go grab it now. And then obviously August PlayStation Plus games are available. We've talked about those already for a couple of weeks. 3 new games have come to Game Pass: Cooking Simulator, Expeditions Rome, and Offworld Trading Company. Those are now on Game Pass if you want those. And then PlayStation Plus Premium from August 16th. So that's just in a few days from now. You will be able to play Yakuza 0, Yakuza Kiwami, Yakuza Kiwami 2, and then also Dead by Daylight, Ghost Recon Wildlands, which Mike talked about earlier in the show, and Bugsnax. Those will also be added, so you can go check those out if you have that service. All right, that's it. We've lost that's Jason, so he can't say bye to y'all.
No, and we can see him. He looks frustrated. We can see him.
He looks sad and frustrated. We'll give him his props next week. Yeah. We'll let him talk again. But until then, Mike, would you like to take us out?
Yeah. thank you everyone for listening to the 108th episode of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember to like, subscribe, review on your podcasting app of choice. And if you have any questions, please DM us on Twitter or Facebook. If you'd like, I would give you Philip's phone number as well. This show will be back next week for episode 109. Have a great weekend. Stay safe and game hard.